Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank God for our worship team. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God for the heart He's giving. See, worship comes from the heart, from the Spirit. And you can't help but just enter into the manifest presence of what the Lord wants to do in this place. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for all our families that have traveled. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes things happen and people have very, very important trips to make, and we remember them in prayers. And we give God glory that He will bring everybody back.
Amen.
With assignment accomplished safely.
Amen.
Amen. There was a situation that the best way I can describe it is like the situation grew and multiplied, built up, and it came to a point. It was more like the Red Sea in front of me and Pharaoh's army behind. Amen.
Amen.
There are situations that physically we don't have the solution, or even if we know how the solution, we don't have the means.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trusting God, we're believing God for it, we're praying. But on behind there is pressure, and there is pressure, and sometimes the pressure can be amplified by the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
And on the left, on the right, there is no door. No, it's all rocks. So there are situations we find ourselves, like Moses. See, the song we're ministering with the Lord says, on Christ the solid rock we stand.
Mm.
And that song talks about, in Christ alone I put my trust. What does that mean? So when these situations happen in our lives, it doesn't matter what the doctors are saying here, it doesn't matter what the enemy is saying, it doesn't matter what things look like in the physical. What do you do? The flesh, which is what the Bible calls those who build their house on the sand. The flesh, the humanity part of us, will act like the children of Israel. The children of Israel, how the flesh reacts is, we are dead. It's over. It's better that we should have been buried in Egypt than to be buried here. Then they accuse God. Then they accuse the word of God. Moses, why did you bring us here? They deny God. The flesh, under attack, under pressure, will act that way. So, if you build your house, what it means house, if you put your trust on anything that is carnal or flesh, when that thing is attacked or goes into a condition that it cannot solve, that thing gives up. It fails, it falls, it falters. That's why Jesus says, those who build their house on the sand, which is flesh, confidence in flesh, in the things of this world, when the storm comes and the shaking comes, he said it will collapse, it will fail. Amen?
Amen.
So that's flesh for you. No matter what it is, look, the height of what the enemy can do, from name it all, as far as flesh is related, if your confidence, your life is settled on that, when those things come, you go into depression, confusion, denying God, backsliding. The pain will overwhelm you. And you begin to say, it's better that I've died in Egypt than here. They literally, that's the reaction. That's how God describes the flesh under pressure. But when the flesh is not in pressure, the flesh will make you believe you can survive anything, you can be anything. So, but the Spirit, Christ, the Spirit man, the Spirit, in the things of the Spirit, the things of God, under pressure, under those situations, under the same condition, something happens. You will hear a connection in the Spirit with God. And from the Spirit to Spirit, God will begin to give you assurance. God will begin to speak to you. Because why? Your confidence is in Him. So, I've been in several situations like that. God allows situations like that to test you, to train you, to build your spiritual muscle, to prepare you for where He's taking you. Some are small, some are big, but situations like that, no matter how small, no matter how big, where you are boxed in, and you can't at that point look to man. You can't just everything is just like the Red Sea. And one of them I've been praying, and I was just walking from my bathroom, walking from the bedroom towards the bathroom. And as I crossed the door from the bedroom to the bathroom, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about the situation. And He said, I am your friend. And I understood what He was saying. And when I heard that word, I just broke. I started crying and crying. And it's like that situation lifted. It was still as it lift. I mean, it says, I'm your friend. It says that in different time, but this time it was almost like it was louder. And when He said it, I understood. See, the Spirit of the Lord is not just the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Father by which we cry, Abba Father. So basically, from the training that the Lord was giving me then, He was now telling me, son, because we are friends, you know you can trust me that this situation will be taken care of. And when He said that, that was it. After the tears and everything, I knew it was wrong. But why am I saying that? When we put our trust in God, and when God becomes our foundation, when everything is shaken, you will hear that word, be still and know I am your God. Amen?
Amen.
And that doesn't just come anyhow. And that's where we're going since last week. We are on this series called The Tabernacle. It comes from relationship. It comes from relationship that you build over a period of time, that you are able to be sensitive and you are able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God more louder than the situation, and God giving you assurance this situation is taken care of. And that very week, that situation was taken care of supernaturally. The message from last week to today, the emphasis of what I'm about to share with you is based on prophetic understanding of seasons. The season we live in right now is not like any other season. Amen?
Amen.
This is what Hebrew says about this season in Hebrews chapter 12 towards the end. He says, God has spoken before, but he says, he will speak once more. He says, I will not only shake the earth, but I will also shake the heavens. Amen?
Amen.
So that everything that can be shaken, that is, things that are of flesh, everything that can be shaken, things that are of men, will be shaken. Amen? So that those things that cannot be shaken will be established, which is the kingdom of God. Which is the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you from last week understand that you belong to the kingdom of God?
Amen.
How many of you understand that you've been born into the kingdom of God? How many of you believe that that kingdom is a royal kingdom? Amen?
Amen?
That blood is a royal blood. You've been born into the kingdom of God. And the Bible prophesied about the last days that the times are going to be tough, the times are going to be rough, but those who are in the kingdom, it will be their moment to be established. It will be their moment to shine. It will be their moment for the kingdom to be revealed and the glory of God to be revealed. Amen?
Amen.
Because God said, we shake everything that can be shaken, so that those things which cannot be moved, shaken, which is the key, will be revealed. Amen?
Amen.
So this is the moment we're entering, and the shaking has begun. Amen?
Amen.
And God is now calling us to embrace the reality of the kingdom more, so that we will not only live in the covering and understanding of the covering and the protection of the kingdom, but in the glory of it. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this and then we'll go into some scriptures about today. My people perish for lack of knowledge. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, everybody talks about it. My people will humble themselves and all this. We talk about a whole lot. Do you know that, like I shared last, I don't know which time I mentioned that, but that scripture that we read a whole lot, that scripture was as a result of the glory of God manifested. And God was saying to Solomon, when you lose this, when you don't see it, and in place of it, all you see is lack of rain, in other words, disaster, locusts with disaster, pestilence, disaster. He says something is wrong. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, with the repentance, I will hear and I will restore. I will forgive, I will heal the land. What the Lord is saying is, whenever there's a crisis in the land, the only people that have the recipe for solution are Christians. The only people that have the answers for that problem are believers. Amen?
Amen?
So I just want to mention that, and then we'll move on to something. If believers don't know what the solution is, that solution cannot receive proper attention from heaven. And if it doesn't receive proper attention from heaven, and man doesn't have a solution for it, that situation will continue until the church rises to the challenge. COVID, whether variant or no variant, is because of sin. Pestilence are what they call plagues, diseases in the Old Testament. God is telling Israel, telling us the church, if you see any of this thing happening, it's not because you can see you enjoy my glory. It's because a breach has been established and the enemy has access.
Jesus.
Man is doing what he can to solve the problem, but the problem is repentance.
Amen.
And the wicked world does not understand repentance. It's the church. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to say, repentance is how God begins to show mercy, and then solution begins to come. This plague that we're experiencing now, the church does not believe or understand it's a result of sin. We are living in such rebellion. Our laws are so rebellious against God. Our ways are so obstinate against God. And now the enemy is allowed. God, things are just coming in anyhow. And plagues are taking place. And we are, like the world, looking more for natural solution than seeking for permanent solution that only God can bring. So I just want to leave that, because we'll touch that later. Now, the part I want us to look at is the continuation from last week. I won't go back to last week, but you remember we started by talking about something that we lost. And if you lose something, you can never be at rest. You can never enter into rest or at peace until you find that, especially if it's something you cannot live without. So we lost the glory of God. We lost the righteousness of God. We lost that clothing. We talked about it. And then Jesus came and, you know, we fast forward here and restored something to us. Amen? We want to continue in that direction because of where the Lord is taking us in the tabernacle, in the tent that we're about to establish. So let's open our Bibles to Exodus. I want to show us a scripture and we can go from there. Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. We read from verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, now, thou sayest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou hast sent with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, this is prayer now. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee what?
Rest.
My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not what? Hence. Don't take me any further. Why? For verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated or distinguished, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord honored that request. What is this cry? What are we talking about? How does this relate to last week? My brothers and sisters, please pay attention. When I talked about these obstacles and situations that I went through, and the Lord spoke to me, These are some of the training that God is bringing us into. He doesn't want our coming here, our understanding of church and Christianity to be based on the flesh. God wants us to so much build a relationship with Him or grow in relationship that the things we go through, we know without a doubt He is with us. That's what makes all the difference. That my presence, I am with you. And you will overcome. So, here, Moses has been in ministry. Everybody say ministry.
Ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
Moses was raised up from Egypt. Spent 40 years God preparing him. And after 40 years of preparation, God released him into ministry, into his calling, into him. Moses experienced signs and wonders. Everyone say signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders.
Amen.
Amen.
He experienced all that in Egypt. Amen. He's like an evangelist. And brought the people out of Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
But now that the people are out of Egypt, they need to be discipled. So Moses brought them out, they saw these great miracles, and God called Moses to the mountain, the first mountain. And there the people saw the glory of God, the power of God. Moses was in the mountain, everybody experienced all that smoke and everything. And then Moses came back, the people were still acting up in the flesh, destroyed the Ten Commandments, and the Lord called him back to the mountain. Amen? This second time is when Moses experienced something. Many times, people don't understand a lot of what was transpiring here. All through the Bible, God has to reveal a lot and build a lot of scriptures for you to understand some things deeper in some experiences in the Bible. And that this is one of them. What is happening here, and I want to share with you, is Moses has been experienced in the hand of God. He's been prepared, he's been experiencing, God has been speaking to him, he's been walking in the gifts of God, in the power of God. But for the first time, Moses experienced the fatherhood of God to him. He experienced the glory, the person. This is my father. It's not just my God who delivers me, who saved me, who did all this miracle. Now I see him for who he is. He's long-suffering. He's full of love. He's full of mercy. This is who brought me. This is who brought me into the world. This is my Father. This is my Creator. Moses was having this experience, and Moses realized all along, this is what he's been looking for. This is what, you see, you cannot live on ministry. You cannot live on miracles. That is not your foundation. That is not, miracles are gifts, salvation, all these things are just gifts. They are not like a person, amen? It's a gift and manifestation of the hand of a person. But it's not the person. The person is known by their character, by their personality. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So Moses, when you hear, you see, the Lord passed by, he says, the Lord long suffering, the Lord this, the Lord that, the Lord that. Lord, God was revealing a person to him. See, he spoke to him face to face. He was revealing a person to him, and he's the person of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
And so as Moses experienced this, Moses said, this is what I'm looking for. Your presence in my life. This was what was lost by Adam. This was what was lost by Eve. Is that presence. of the Father, the presence of God, the presence that is the only thing that satisfies the soul. Amen. It's the only thing that gives rest to what the soul is longing for until you find it. And God said to Moses, my presence, I will go with you and you find rest.
Amen.
You find rest. It was later Paul was talking, writing and talking about labor to enter into this rest. There is a rest to the people of God. You don't rest until you find what you've lost. We lost something from Genesis. I started last week. And Jesus came to restore it. Some of us are born again, but still we have not found this. What we are still finding is we are saved. We are looking for God to heal us, to do this, to do that, to do that. But God is saying, my presence, I want to be your father. I want to be your friend. He said it here. Said Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend. When Moses experienced it, he says, don't take us. I'm not going any further. I have found what I'm looking for. You have to go with us.
Jesus.
Amen?
Amen.
You have to go with us. If you don't go with us, don't take us any further. He has been in ministry like everything I've said to him, but now he has now experienced not just the love of a father, the reality of a father, but the God that is a father and who he is. And then Moses says, what you just manifested, what you just revealed, if he doesn't go with us, there is no difference between us and the world. We are all offered. You give them your hands, God causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. What makes a difference is that we are sons. We are your children. If your presence goes with us, that distinguishes us from the rest of the world. My brothers and sisters, there are things that we don't realize from the fall of man after we lost the presence of God, not the hands of God, but the presence of God, the Father nature of God. That's where we started losing what we call righteous characteristics. And now we are open to things that we don't understand is what causes brokenness in our soul. Let me explain to you what we're talking about. First of all, when Jesus was ministering, we need to pay attention to this because God is taking us somewhere. Jesus was ministering and he says, I must need go to Samaria. You all know that story. When he got to a well, he started, met a woman there. Amen?
Amen?
And you know the story of the woman at the well. What happened to this woman at the well? The woman encountered Jesus. Amen? And Jesus told him that he has water that is not physical. Amen?
Amen.
He has water that is not physical. That if this woman will drink this water that is not physical, that is spiritual, she will never thirst again. She will find rest to her brokenness. Amen?
Amen.
The woman said, what is this water? I want it. Give it to me. What was her brokenness? Something has happened to this woman. She must be a wonderful, pretty woman because she has just had 5 husbands, and she's now living with another man that is not yet her husband. So she's broken. There's something she's broken. And that brokenness cannot be fixed by money. It cannot be fixed by any man. That brokenness is a cry for healing of the soul. And Jesus at this place revealed that this water that I'm going to give to you is the presence of God. That God has been waiting, that the Father God has been waiting and is seeking for sons and daughters who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So He says the hour has come, and now is the hour. He's talking about Himself. That God, you don't have to go to religion, to Jerusalem, to this. That God is now coming to restore that sonship, that relationship back between the Father, the children, and what? The fathers and the children. What is this restoration? It says, if you want true worshipers, you worship. The Father is seeking such. What does that mean? When the woman experienced God, experienced the love of Christ, experienced that her soul was healed. Her soul was healed. Whatever that was missing deep down in that heart, that soul was restored. And it was the love of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you don't get the message there, that there is a healing that cannot come any other way until you experience the Father's love, the presence, the reality of the presence of God. It's more than any physical healing you're seeking. It's more than money. It is a wholeness that takes place in your soul, and you have an identity that is more than anything physical, and nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Nobody can condemn you. No situation physically again can put you under. You now have found your Father, and He gives you a new identity of who you are, and that healing takes place. I give you another example. Jesus was ministering, and as He was around, people were around Him, and the Jews and everybody, and they were so religious. They attend church, but they don't understand, what is church about? What is all this religious activity about? What is this whole thing about? It's about finding what has missing. It's finding what was lost, individually and corporately. What is lost is the presence of the Lord. Not just an atmosphere of God's presence, but the person of His Fatherhood. Living in that reality. Amen?
Amen.
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 Good to see our family here. Amen?
Amen.
So, as Jesus was teaching, I was trying to bring understanding to what church is, what Christianity is, what it really means. What are you looking for? Why are you here? What will give you peace? How do you enter into your rest? Rest doesn't mean you're a millionaire. Rest doesn't mean you don't need healing. Rest simply means I have found what my soul daily says is longing for. And I'm at rest now. I'm in my Amen. Father's house.
Amen.
And I know He will take care of the rest.
Amen.
So Jesus gave this parable. And in this parable, He used an illustration that was very clear to the Jews and clear to everybody around Him. And it's a parable we call the parable of the prodigal son. But really, we call it the parable of the lost son. Amen? Mm-hmm. You all know that story. Mm-hmm. In that story, it says this man has two sons. Amen? And this one kept coming and saying, Father, give me this. And then after a while, the father divided inheritance to them. Amen?
Amen.
He says, one, this one took it and went and rioted with it. What was rioting? There was a longing. Something was missing in his heart, in his soul. He didn't know what it is. He thought money was the solution. He thought if I could just have money, I will fix it. But when he had money, the problem was magnified, because now money now started bringing more what the problem in his heart cannot solve. Okay, I have money, maybe if I have women, that will be okay. He has women, he found that the hole was deeper. If I drink, that will be okay. If I take drugs, that will be okay. He took that, the hole was deeper. He was still longing for something. And when his money expired, where he can't fill that hole anymore, that's when he finally started crying out. What is this? What am I looking for? What is my problem? What is this situation? God, I mean, where can this be? And the Bible says the revelation came back to his senses.
Yes.
I think what I'm looking for is relationship with my Father.
Yes. Yes.
I must go back to my Father. That was what he lost. Remember that parable Jesus gave him, calling the parable of the lost son.
Yes.
Lost is for you to gain something that you lost, you cannot live without. Now, when you went back to the Father, my brother, let me tell you how powerful this is, and you see very soon why we have to go to the tabernacle. When he found just the revelation of his problem, the solution to his problem, the solution to his soulish need, the solution to lack of peace, lack of sleeping, lack of restfulness, lack of the turmoil in his soul, he just had a revelation that it is being restored to my spiritual Father. Because it's a spiritual problem. Amen?
Amen?
The moment he had the revelation, immediately he was already being healed. And this is what he said. He said, when I go back, it's not going to be about money anymore. It's not going to be about physical sonship. It's not going to be about taking my former position for inheritance. I just want to have a relationship, even if it means for me to be one of his servants, as long as I have a relationship with him.
Jesus.
I don't care about anything else. I just want to have my soul restored with his heart. And then his Father, God, Jesus said, the Father is looking for his children. The same man was out there looking, expecting his son that is lost to come back.
Yes.
And when his son came back, what did the Father do? To show you the mystery of church, the mystery of the gospel, is God is looking for relationship. Our soul is completely at rest until we find that relationship. Look at what happened when that relationship connects in the spirit. Celebration begins.
Jesus.
God begins to shower you with blessings. God begins to recognize you. God begins to do things. God begins to change your wardrobe. God begins to change your shoes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
God begins to kill things for you before you ask. Amen? Relationship. Amen? And now, to show you that these are lost sons, what happened again? The other son, now Jesus was nailing the Jews because they like to do religious work, religious activity. So busy doing it that they don't even have relationship with the Father. So Jesus referred to that. This son was always doing something, busy at work. Came to his father and said, I work. And you don't. You never given me this. You never done this. And now this is your son that went and wasted his life. Came back, and this is what you've done. You see again. A lost son. The Father now finally said, you're my son. Everything I have is yours. And there was a restoration. My brothers and sisters, why am I sharing this? In the book of Amos, I just share with you what Moses Moses cried about the Father's heart, the presence of God. When God was moving in the book of Acts, God was moving so heavily in the book of Acts, and moving. All of a sudden, Paul went out and started bringing Gentiles and bringing the healing world, and they were trying to put religion upon them. And they came to the leaders of the church and they were discussing, what do we do with unbelievers? What do we do with the Gentiles? And as they were discussing, James, the elder, the main person that sits on the council there, this is what he said to them. I want you to see it. He quoted the book of Amos 9:11. Acts chapter 15. If you go to Acts 15, I'll read from verse. Acts 15. I read from verse 13. And after this, they held their peace. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Verse 15. And to this I agree the words of the prophet, as it is written. After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up, verse 17, why? That the nations, the residue, the people, the residue of men, might seek after the Lord. And all Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, say the Lord who doeth these things.
Amen.
It says, I will restore the tabernacles of David, that the Gentiles, the nations will seek after. What does it mean, the tabernacle of David? Not the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of Moses, when God brought his presence down, was a ritualistic tabernacle. And only one man has to, after much ritual and tradition, goes into that Holy of Holies. Amen?
Amen.
But the tabernacle of David had no rituals, and it was open tent, and they put the ark in there, and all they did was they worshiped the Lord. They sought after the Lord. Why? Because David patterned his heart after worship, after seeking the Lord, after building relationship. Jesus says the Father is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. What is worship? Worship is intimate relationship. Expressing consistency in intimacy in relationship. And so, the tabernacle of David, God said, I restore it. What does it mean to restore the tabernacle of David, not the tabernacle of Moses? The tabernacle of Moses was do's and don'ts for you to get to the holy place. But the tabernacle of David was based on relationship. And because David exemplified that when they brought the ark, God says, I have found a man who seeks after my heart. Mm-hmm. And why? He was a worshiper. Amen. So David told the people when they brought the tabernacle, they should just worship the Lord. And as they worship, the glory of the Lord shone out of the tabernacle, and everybody saw it. And God started speaking, and they would take notes. That's where all the songs and things came. And they were able to experience the presence of God. So he says in the last days, Amos prophesied 9:11, I will restore, I will build again the tents of David. And when God was moving in the book of Acts, and they were wondering, what do we do with these Gentiles? He said, God already prophesied that in the last days, his presence will be made available to all. I will pour out my spirit upon, now upon our flesh, Joel says. Here, he says, I will open up myself like the tent of David to the nations. Amen?
Amen.
So what the Lord is doing right now with us, as we've been waiting on the Lord, seeking the face of the Lord, God has been doing a lot. Amen? And another thing that you must understand about serving God is seasons. That's one thing God has really helped us a lot here. A farmer Kuka is more into cows now, but he used to farm. Amen? A farmer has to understand seasons. If you put something in the ground, isn't it? You have to plan to harvest it. Amen? And when the time of harvest comes, you work to harvest it, isn't it? Christianity without seasons of harvest is not Christianity. Christianity is not about doing and laboring and you don't receive reward from the Lord. You don't receive refreshing from the Lord. You're not experiencing, not just only knowing God, but God doing extraordinary things to show you, I am with you. There is a sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Bible is full of it in so many ways. But Christianity has seasons. Paul says, as we behold him, we go from glory to glory. There must be growing process of you experiencing, knowing God, walking with God, more than you did 5 years ago. Amen?
Amen.
Not just about physical blessing. So a farmer is used very well in the Bible for us to be edified in serving God. So we are in that season. We have different seasons. We are in that season where God is saying, expect harvest. We are seeing some of it here and there in some of the things that some of you have been hearing the testimony. Part of the harvest is somebody giving us money for that building. That's part of the harvest.
Hallelujah.
Nobody's going to give you money to go buy a building. That's harvest. We waited for a long time. There are other harvests, but the reason now God spoke to us to establish the tent, to set the tent out there, is that God says, I want you to carry this water that you've been drinking, this river, take it out there, and let me begin to flow, let me create an atmosphere so that the people, the church without walls, since we don't invite people to church anymore, so God said, go out there so I can invite them myself. Amen? We're just here soaking everything. God said, okay, go outside, let me invite them myself. Leave it open. Let everybody come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to take our worship out there to the tent. I'm going to take one day at a time. And we're going to fulfill that scripture as the Lord spoke. Amen? Amen. So after this service, we have a meeting to prepare some of the workers for the tent. The whole reason it's called a tabernacle is because God says, I want to inhabit, I want to reveal my glory, and I want the fragrance of my glory to attract people. I want to open up this world again, and I want to quench the thirst. What is the thirst? The woman at the well that are out there. I was in a meeting, the governor, some assistant to the governor on behalf of the governor called several times now. I attended one of them, and they were talking to us about foster children, foster parents. And they called a lot of pastors. And as I'm talking to you, they are begging. They says there are thousands of children looking for homes to be blessed in. These are children, we're talking about brokenness. Amen? That's a broken society. Marriages are broken. People are married. What a privilege you have. There are young people out there marrying that their marriage don't last a month and they have 3 children or 2 children. There are people that have 3 or 4 kids that they are not even at the age where they can maintain one, and before you know the government takes it. There's a brokenness. And the foster, there's a reservoir of children crying to be placed in homes. That's what they told us. These are children. And the society is being broken even more. Marriages. I know people who, they've got into a place, they're not even at a point where they can take care, they turn their children to their grandparents. And they continue with their marriage. So this generation is inherited burdens, and everywhere is cracking. Now, we're talking about it. The jail system is outrageous of broken people. And many of them are parents. The society we live now, culture, you're hearing a lot about something culture. Because they want to reinvent culture and laws to fit current culture and redefine it so that people can manage it. That's taking this generation into a deeper hole, thinking that will solve the problem. So God is saying, what all these people were called the lost is nothing but they are looking for me as a father. They are looking for that healing that takes place. And the book of Malachi, chapter 4, makes it very clear what we are experiencing in the culture today. It says, Malachi 4:6 says, in the last days, this is what God will do. I will turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, and the hearts of the Father back to the children, so that I can break the curse in the land. So everywhere when there's this lack of healing that comes from true parenting, true fatherhood, a generation lives under a curse. What is the curse? Exactly what we're seeing today. A broken society. But the picture of the society is really the picture of the church and Jesus right now. The church is so broken because God is calling us to turn back our hearts fully back to Him.
Amen.
And so the purpose of the tabernacle is God says, I will restore the fallen dead. I will restore the hearts of the fathers. I will restore my heart to my children. So it's not really a physical thing. The physical thing is a prophetic statement. But it's us going out there to manifest the presence of God and make room for the lost to find the presence of God and find peace and find hope and find salvation, find deliverance, and again regain identity in what God is calling them to do. Amen?
Amen.
So that's one assignment the Lord is calling us to do in this season. And quickly, the next assignment that we're doing, most of you are aware of it, I might mention it more because of time, next week is the Nigerian assignment. I've read it to you in the past. God is always looking for people to stand in the gap. Many of you might not know, but nutshell, Nigeria is a walking time bomb. The Islamic radicals and their agenda has stirred up the nation in such a direction that they succeeded in provoking such division and such a cry, because people are now looking for a way to defend and protect their people, that the nation is about to implode. And that is the enemy's strategy, to destroy through division and to conquer and to displace lives. Look at what's happening in Afghanistan. Look at what is happening in various nations. You want to waste millions of lives and sacrifice blood to gods, and then those gods feel they have enough power to take a particular nation. And the only people that understand that are spiritual people. The carnal man doesn't understand because he's angry. But in the spirit, you can see that the enemy wants to sacrifice blood for his own agenda. So God is awakening us, and God is building a platform for years now. We did not know that this ASLP thing God was doing was to serve somebody. So God has stirred up the hearts of a lot of Nigerian leaders, both here and abroad. And a cry has been lifted up. So Man Zion is in the middle of this. It's a catalyst story. So we're calling this house to 3 days of prayer and fasting. It's actually, we're calling Nigerians globally, everywhere in the world. The cry has gone out. There are people are sending it everywhere. All the denominations are involved, from Foursquare to Redeem to this. Everybody is involved in it globally. And they are calling that cry. 3 days of prayer and fasting, like the days of Esther, for God to intervene and shift and introduce Himself to Nigeria in a way that the plans and purpose of God will rise above the plans of an Islamic or demonic agenda.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us from there, we have families there. And that's why the book of Esther says, if we think we that are here, we are safe, we're okay. You told Esther, it says, God will deliver them, but what about you and your family's house? So that's why we felt we should call Nigerians from the West here, all the way there, and they are responding. And they are really responding. And the 3 days fast is 23rd of this month. Next, a week from tomorrow, next Monday to next Wednesday, not this coming one. But on Sunday, a lot of the fathers of faith from Nigeria are going to speak and share videos about encouraging this 3 days fast. And we're believing that God who called this fast has a plan to intervene.
Yes.
Because what happens to Nigeria can affect the whole Africa, mm-hmm. and it can affect the whole world, mm-hmm. spiritually speaking, in many ways. So we're calling Mount Zion to join 3 days of fasting for the nation. God said, what you do for one, God will do for you. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll give you more details about the fasting and prayer next week. People are lined up. It's going to be on Facebook and YouTube. 3 days non-stop, 2 hours of praying. You can watch it non-stop by all the different denominations, both from Nigeria and here. But it's going to be soon from America here. Amen?
Amen.
We'll give you more details next week for time. So please, mark your calendar 23rd to 25th, 3 days of consecration to pray for Nigeria. And some of us will give you more details how we're going to do it here. And we believe God to move mightily over Nigeria's destiny. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. We are preparing our hearts for the tent. And we are preparing our hearts for the assignment for Nigeria. Amen.
Amen.
And the things God is calling us. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. How many of you this morning, like Moses, you want more of God? Father, Paul says, this one thing I do, I press towards the mark of the high price of your calling. I have not attained to where I want to be. But one thing I want to do, I don't want to settle for where I've been. Father, there is more to you. There is more to you, God. There's more to the reason why we're here. Our generation is groaning. Life has been wasted in Afghanistan as we speak. Life has been wasted in Nigeria. Life has been wasted, God. Father, you're calling us to stand in the gap. You're calling us to aspire for more of your glory. And this morning, I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to answer the call. To be part of the incense that will rise up to you. Father, for the sake of my brothers in Nigeria, sake of my sisters, my siblings, Father, may the comfort of this nation not keep me from standing, believing you for breakthrough, and our country not be destroyed.
Jesus.
So Father, I pray that you will stir our hearts, oh God.
Jesus.
And we will use everything you put in our ability unite with this cry. Father, you're calling us more to your presence. We commit, oh God, to this assignment to carry this river out there and believe you, God, to flow in the streets of this city and draw me to your presence. Have your will, Lord. We surrender to you. Father, I thank you for every heart and every need in this place. Speak to us and let your voice still every storm and every concern of our hearts. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.